We meditate this morning on our Old Testament reading from Isaiah 7. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word to us and the gift of the word made flesh in your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that as we prepare in this final week before Christmas to celebrate his birth, that you would be at work among us and within us, speaking your word to us, instructing and guiding us and blessing us in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever looked or hoped or even asked for a sign from God? A sign of his existence, a sign of his goodness, a sign of his direction. Of course, if you live in the States, you can actually see signs like this dotted along the highways. Although I can't help wonder if maybe we have some wealthy American evangelicals to thank for those more than God himself. And if God did give us a sign, how do we know we would recognize it? Or how do we know that we would even like what it was telling us? Like this one, for example. Now, today we hear in Isaiah 7 God's offer of a sign. God's offer of a sign to King Ahaz. And we hear then of the strange refusal of that sign, that Ahaz doesn't want a sign from God. And then we hear the even stranger response of God, which is to give him one anyway. So these are the three points I'd like to think about today: the offer of a sign, the refusal for a sign, and the gift of the sign at the end. So first, the offer. Now it's important that you know a little bit about King Ahaz's situation at this time, which was not a good situation. There'd been an alliance in the north, meaning that his kingdom in the south was under great threat. And especially Jerusalem, the capital, was under great threat and danger at this time. And Isaiah, the prophet, had come to the king and said, Jerusalem will be okay, Jerusalem will not fall. But the king was not convinced. Isaiah had said to him just before our text, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, talking about this alliance that had been made in the north. In other words, yes, these are your enemies, they're fiery, they're fierce, they're angry, but they're burning out. Their influence is declining. They're on their last legs, they're smoldering, their days are numbered. And then Isaiah had also warned Ahaz, so that's the first word he gives him. He'd then prophesied this downfall, and then he says to the king, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And it's interesting that you get at one and the same time this encouragement to the king, it'll be okay, Jerusalem will not fall, but coupled with this warning, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. You see, this king, this particular king, did not have a great track record of trusting God and obeying God's laws. And so Isaiah is at the same time encouraging him as he is warning him about the danger of turning his back on God. That all comes in the lead up to our text today when we hear of this gracious offer. No, I didn't put the gracious offer up there. This is what it says. The Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Okay, Ahaz, you're struggling to believe, you're struggling to trust in the promises of God. What sign can I give you? And the remarkable thing about the offer is that not only does God offer a sign, but he offers any sign. Heaven to earth, under the earth, tell me what you want, tell me what you need to help trust in me and my promises. Anything you'll find helpful. Now, I think it's fair to say God doesn't make offers like that every day. But to King Ahaz, he did. It's interesting that Ahaz wasn't seeking God, but God was very much seeking Ahaz at this point and making him this very gracious offer. Bible commentator Matthew Henry says, God considers us, he considers our frame, he considers that living in a world of sense, we're apt to require sensible proofs, which therefore he favours us with, in sacramental signs and seals. We had a baptism this morning, adult baptism, James Briggs Wilson, who some of you would have met. And so I talked at this point a little bit about the sacraments as signs from God. The bread and wine, sign from God. The water and the word of baptism, a sign from God. I talked about James himself as a sign from God, which he has been very much to me as I've worked with him over these last 6 months. A sign that God is still at work. God is still doing what he says he will do. Instructing people, drawing people, calling people, encouraging people. The sacraments are signs from God, pointing us to the goodness and the graciousness and the presence and the work of our Lord. Is it possible these signs are all around us, but just that we often don't have eyes to see them or ears to hear them? It's interesting in this case that Ahaz responds in this way with refusal to accept or even ask for a sign from God. Ahaz said, "I will not ask and I will not put the Lord to the test." Now, it sounds very pious, really. And these words are straight from Deuteronomy, so it's, in a sense, it's biblical, it's very godly. You know, I will not put the Lord to the test. Jesus says the same thing when he's in the wilderness, when he's tempted. You know, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So why at this point, coming out of Ahaz's mouth, do these words seem somewhat disingenuous? They remind me of someone who refuses an invitation with a grand excuse as to why they would really love to be there, but simply couldn't impose. Or someone who refuses an offer of food. You know, I simply couldn't have another bite when they haven't actually had a bite to begin with. Some gracious offers should simply be accepted graciously. And this is certainly one of those times. But you see, behind this is Ahaz's own reasoning for refusing God's offer. Ahaz had his own political alliances. And Ahaz didn't necessarily want to be beholden to God, didn't want to admit that he needed God's help, thought he was okay without God. So his refusal of this sign is probably not as pious and godly as it might first appear. The little Ahaz inside each one of us is always questioning whether we really do want God to convince us, do want God to help us, do want God to show us his signs and wonders, lest we somehow become indebted to him as a result. Human beings are complex creatures, and we have many alliances and many allegiances here, there, and everywhere, and many mixed motivations. How we act, how we respond to God, how we interact with one another. The amazing thing is that God doesn't write us off because of that. In fact, in Ahaz's example, he simply keeps coming and keeps offering. Isaiah says, "Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?" Come on, Ahaz. Don't weary me, don't refuse me, don't make me come down there. What God does ultimately is come down here. And that proves to be the sign that God gives. Firstly, in a very short space of time, he says those two kings in the north will be laid waste. They won't be a threat to you any longer after a little while. But secondly, there's this other promise. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God with us. God among us. God down here. And not God sort of coming down to check on us and judge us and that kind of thing, but God born as an infant child, a precious baby. And so this great prophecy becomes a beautiful segue and beautiful prelude to the celebration of Christmas. God gives us a sign, not just Ahaz a sign, but the whole world a sign, and the sign is Christ. And he doesn't wait for us to straighten out our lives first. Perhaps he doesn't have time for that. He doesn't wait for us to sort out all these various alliances and allegiances and, you know, our hearts here and our minds over there, or trying to please this person at the same time as that person. And he doesn't wait for us to sort out all our mixed motivations that we have in life before he acts. Maybe he figures he's got a lifetime on us to do that work. Instead, he begins his work in us and for us by the sending of himself. The same promise is repeated to Mary and Joseph in the New Testament, and unlike Ahaz, they accept it. Not because they understand it, not because it fits in their heads, not because their lives are so wonderful and perfect and without problems, but because they recognize this as a sign from God for them and for the world. The sign of Emmanuel, the sign that God himself is with us. Now, I went to Concordia College for my schooling, and Concordia College and Emmanuel College were not always the best of friends. But I knew deep down, even then, that they had it over us in the name department. Emmanuel. What a beautiful name. Emmanuel, God with us. Not to mention sport and music and academics and a few other things, right? But Emmanuel, God with us. This is the sign that God gives. And he doesn't just give Ahaz the sign and Mary the sign and Joseph the sign. He gives us the sign too. Whether we are someone who's struggling with various allegiances and alliances in our life, whether we are someone with mixed motivations for how we act each day, whether we are someone who's struggling, like Mary and Joseph were, with difficult family situations, the sign of Emmanuel, the birth of Jesus, is a sign of God's presence and his goodness and his graciousness for you. A sign that he is with you, a sign that he is for you, and a sign that he will never, ever leave you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize the signs you send, the signs that are perhaps all around us each and every day. But help us above all to be drawn to this one great sign, the birth of your Son Jesus for us. You in the flesh, you among us, and to put our trust and our faith in him. Bless us, Lord, this day as we prepare for the celebration of his birth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.